This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
Hey, welcome to the show. Ahead, well, Gavin McKenna doing Gavin McKenna things in the second round of the WHL playoffs. We'll have more on that. NHL Central Scouting has released its final rankings for the 2025 NHL Draft. And again, the WHL leading the way. The Regina Pats, with a stroke of luck in the WHL Prospects Draft Lottery. General Manager Alan Miller on the show to talk about the plans for that first overall selection. Also, a former WHL player and coach had a front row seat to a new all-time NHL record in goals scored. Mitch Love, now an assistant coach of the Washington Capitals, on Alexander Ovechkin's record-setting moment. And Spokane Chiefs broadcaster Mike Boyle with quite a day this past week. We'll have more on that. First up. Medicine at Tigers phenom Gavin McKenna has scored two goals in the series against Prince Albert that have people around the hockey world talking. We'll go to Medicine Hat game two, going behind the back with the puck and then reversing.
McKenna will skate onto the rebound. He'll have a two-on-one shorthanded with speed. Pacheco the trailer. McKenna, what a move. Gavin McKenna, mastery from Gavin McKenna. Highlight of the night. Shorthanded wizardry.
That was quite the goal. Will Bryant on the call for Wild 94.5 Radio in Medicine Hat. Then in game three in Prince Albert, he did it again.
McKenna, Michigan attempt, and he scores. Gavin McKenna, a minute and 26 seconds in, and the Tigers have a four-goal lead. Again, this kid is absolutely insane.
That call on 900 CKBI from Nick Nielsen, that goal sealed a Game 3 win for the Tigers as they went up 3-0 in the series.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week radio edition.
Fortune smiles on the Regina Pats with the WHL Prospects Lottery falling their way with a 24% chance of winning the lottery. The Regina Pats coming up with the number one pick for the draft coming up in May. Alan Miller is the general manager of the Regina Pats. He joins us. And Al, I don't know what your reaction was initially when you were told that the Pats had won the lottery, but maybe take me back to that moment last week.
Yeah, you know what? It was a great moment for our hockey club. I think a great moment for our fan base and our community in Regina after a tough couple of years. And, you know, as we move forward with this rebuild, this is a real important draft for us. We have five picks in the first two rounds. And to start the day off at number one is great news and a lot of excitement for everybody in our organization.
Yeah, we'll talk about that first overall pick in a second. You just mentioned it there. I think your message is it's more than number one. You have a lot of picks here overall. Tell us about your picks here in the draft here and how you plan to use them in a pretty important day for the organization.
Yeah, like you said, John, a lot of focus on number one. And for us, you know, a couple years into a rebuild here that was necessary and building our draft capital was important. Draft and developing is the only way to build it the right way in the CHL, as you know. And so, you know, we have nine picks in the first two rounds of the next two drafts, four first. But in this draft, we have 1, 23, 26, 27, and 46, two firsts, 3 seconds. And it's an important draft for us. So, you know, our draft capital, everything's on the table for us to get better. Do we use all those picks to draft players? Do we try to move up? Do we make any deals before the draft? Like I said, everything's on the table for us to try and get better.
You were able to keep your first round selection this year, and you think of the past drafts here, a lot of the teams that have stepped up for that number one overall selection, it has not been their pick here, and that would have been the case had Edmonton prevailed here, but the foresight to have the pick, and I guess, you know, in a situation where it's your pick here, that's got to make it a little bit more special too.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, the team was in a situation where, you know, we didn't have a first round pick in two of the last three drafts. You know, in the last two drafts. So protecting those number one picks and building around that draft capital was real important. And And then when the ball drops your way, John, even better.
Yeah, for sure. We've gotten this far. We have not mentioned Maddox Schultz, but let's get there now. He plays in your backyard after a record season there with the Regina Pat Canadians and leading that U18 league in scoring. You see him a lot. You probably know a lot about him and his family. Tell me about the special talent that Maddox Schultz is here and the plan when you step up here to that first overall selection.
Yeah, I think the first thing I'll tell you, John, is we're, you know, not making any public declarations right now in terms of who we're taking, and that's just a matter of, you know, we know what we want to do, but at the same time, the first people that are going to know are the young man and his family. But obviously a lot of focus on Maddox, and rightfully so. You can't talk about him without talking about his team getting ready for the TELUS Cup in Chilliwack, and we wish the Patsies all the best on going after a national championship. But, yeah, special young man, lots of character, lots of leadership, real focused, real invested in his own development to get better. Elite feet, combined sense and skill and offensive upside with a real complete game, you know, playing down the middle, and he does everything hard. So special talent and a special young man.
You mentioned the rebuild earlier in our interview here. It's a long road back sometimes when you get through a top of a cycle and you look to get back and be in a competitive, be in a playoff team, be in a contender once again here. So what's the timeline in Regina, Alan? What are you thinking in your mind here as far as, you know, pulling this group together, getting back in the playoff mix and being a contender once again?
Yeah, we've talked about two steps in the rebuild, John, and that's one, to become competitive, and competitive is a playoff team in whatever fashion that looks like. And then, you know, through that, you build that winning environment, and playing those meaningful games in February, March, and April is important. And then step two is a contender, and how you build from being that competitive playoff team. So our expectations are, and some of it is with the, you know, the youth movement we had last year, our young group performed very well, our 07-08 group. We're real optimistic about our 09 group this offseason. You know, the import draft's going to be real important with the number 4 pick overall. With the draft capital we have, gives us options to improve our team. Our expectations is we'll make a good step here and compete for a playoff spot next season.
I know you mentioned about no public declaration here, but with a player like Maddox Schultz, a homegrown Regina talent, and you know, I saw it firsthand how important an elite local player can be going through Logan Stankoven, and how it can energize the fan base, energize the city with a homegrown player like that. Have you thought about the potential of what it could mean for the city of Regina and a little bit of a rebirth of that Pats brand?
Yeah, I think it's something that the organization, our business team has talked about, you know, for a good part of the year here, if that's how it plays out, John. I think, you know, we knew for a long time with the moves that we made last year and then through this past deadline that, you know, we expected to be in the lottery. We expected to have the option to draft a very good local player. So, yeah, everything you said, the business team, the marketing, the excitement in the community, certainly all those things are favorable and exciting for our group.
Okay, well, as you step to the podium here coming up in a few weeks, you got a lot of cards to play here for sure. An enviable spot here for sure around the WHL to build something with this draft class around a first overall selection. Alan, thanks for making some time for us here on WHL This Week, and happy scouting leading up to the May 7th, May 8th event. Thank you.
Great. Appreciate it, John. Take care.
You're listening to the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
67 WHL players have been listed by NHL Central Scouting in the agency's final rankings ahead of the 2025 NHL Draft. Seattle defenseman Rady Mertka, the top-ranked WHL skater, he comes in at 5th overall. Mertka was the first WHL import player ranked inside the top 5 since Edmonton Oilers star Leon Draisaitl slotted in at number 4 back in 2019. Prince George Cougars fan favorite nominee for WHL Goaltender of the Year, Joshua Ravensbergen, is ranked 1st among all North American netminders This after his second season in PG. 9 WHL skaters were included in the first round of North American skaters, including Mirka, Roger McQueen of the Brandon Wheat Kings, Carter Bear of the Everett Silvertips, Jackson Smith of the Tri-City Americans, WHL champion from last season, Lyndon Lakovic of the Moose Jaw Warriors, Braden Coots of the Seattle Thunderbirds, Ben Kindle of the Calgary Hitmen, Cole Reschny of the Victoria Royals, and Blake Fiddler of the Edmonton Oil Kings. Overall, 21 of 22 WHL clubs are represented in the final rankings. The Oil Kings lead the way with 5 ranked players, along with the Calgary Hitmen, Medicine Hat Tigers, Portland Winterhawks, Red Deer Rebels, Seattle, Swift Current, Tri-City, and Vancouver, all with 4. Now, across the CHL, the Western Hockey League leads the way with 67 players in the rankings. The OHL a close second with 64, and the Quebec Maritimes Junior Hockey League at 39. The NHL Scouting Combine is next up. It's set for Buffalo, New York, June 1st to the 8th, before the top players then head to L.A. for the 2025 NHL Draft, June 27th and 28th.
From the drop of the puck to the Ed Chenault Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
A unique broadcasting scenario for longtime Spokane Chiefs broadcaster Mike Boyle this past week. This is how his Sunday started.
Fielded there by Wimmer. Throw to second in time for one over to first. In time for the inning ending. 5-4-3 double play.
Now, Boiler started his day calling a Spokane Indians baseball game, knowing full well the Chiefs were set to open up their second round WHL playoff series on home ice against Victoria. And this is how his day ended.
Crystal holding, back out front, Ekstrom's open, snap the shot, he scores!
Call it a Boiler doubleheader and about 8 hours of radio play-by-play in total.
This is the first time where it's actually presented itself where there's a playoff Chiefs game and an Indians regular season game with both of them in Spokane and at different times of the day where we could make it work.
The long day of calling games didn't seem like it was going to end as the Chiefs and Royals hit double overtime.
Once we got into overtime, I mean, I just was running on adrenaline, and it was such a well-played overtime and second overtime period that it wasn't a problem for me to feel energetic through it. And, of course, you know, when the Chiefs ended up getting the game winner from Rasmus Ekstrom, I actually came out of my chair for that one, and that rarely happens.
And after going more than a decade without a doubleheader, he may complete the feat again. Tuesday, April 22nd, the Indians will kick off a set against the Eugene Emeralds in the morning. And should the Spokane Chiefs and Victoria Royals require a Game 6, it'll be played at Spokane Veterans Memorial Arena at 7 o'clock that night.
The WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Former WHL player and former coach of the Saskatoon Blades, Mitch Love, has been along for the ride for Alexander Ovechkin's goal-scoring record. The assistant coach of the Washington Capitals spoke with longtime Saskatoon Blades broadcaster Les Lazarek.
This past week has been incredible to be around this team, I'd have to imagine, clinching first place in the Eastern Conference, and of course, Alexander Ovechkin being able to break Wayne Gretzky's goal mark. I know which one you think is more important, but I'd have to think that the Ovechkin chase is also pretty special to have been involved with and seen up front and personal.
Yeah, definitely, Les. I mean, here it's great to catch up with you again. It's been a long time, and always enjoy our chats. And thanks for having me on here. In terms of what this team has gone through, and then obviously Alex and what he's gone through, this season and of late, it's really truly remarkable. I mean, when you look, you really kind of peel the onion back and you look at, you know, what he's gone through this year individually and personally, had a great start, breaks his leg, comes back in a remarkable amount of time to help us try to win hockey games and then obviously chase down Wayne Gretzky's, ultimate goal scoring record. And it's remarkable. But when you're around him every day and you watch him play hockey, you never really ever doubted that he was going to get to this pinnacle of you know, being the all-time, you know, leading goal scorer in NHL history, just because he knows where to go to score goals, which isn't really something that every player is capable of doing. And you know what? His shot is something that goalies, they just don't know where it's going. And I think that's something that really has separated him from other elite players over the years. And it's been a whirlwind for him and his family, our organization, our players, staff. And so now we're kind of in that mode of focusing in on, you know, having a strong finish here and get ourselves ready for the first round of the playoffs.
One more thing with regards to Ovi, Mitch. I mean, the guy, everybody's seen that he's a pretty fun-loving guy away from the ice. You know, he's got the family, no two ways about that. He's very good with the kids, high-fiving them at the glass whenever he scores and that sort of a thing. But the laser focus on a day-to-day basis, that's the thing that a lot of people don't see, the preparation. Goal scorers love to score goals, but it seems like he takes that to another level, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, he's just got a knack to going to the right spots to score, whether it's getting open on the power play, getting open 5-on-5, going to the net front. He's a big body. It's really hard and difficult for teams to move him. You know, and then just the way he manages his body each and every day at the rink, he knows what he needs. If we're having an optional skate, he may go out there for 15 minutes to work on a shot and get some touches there. Or he might need a day off where he's massages and a lot of therapeutical work with our staff. And so, he's just done a really good job of managing his body and his game over the years to put him in this position. And you know, it's just remarkable, to be honest with you. Like when you watch what he kind of went through over the last couple weeks and the hoopla and the buzz and the media attention our team was getting, and him, obviously, he just kept scoring. He just, two goals here, one goal here, game off, and then he'd score another goal. Like it's really remarkable and something that everybody that's here and is involved in and around it every day, obviously a huge treat. But also just the game itself, having Wayne Gretzky around, Gary Bettman around, alumni of the Capitals, alumni of the NHL, the superstars of other professional sports chiming in on social media is really good for the game. And this has been a great year for the NHL, with the Four Nations tournament going on instead of an all-star game. And then obviously this, and then as we ramp up for playoffs, it's been a really great year for NHL hockey and on the major sports market.
Let's talk about yourself a little bit, Mitch. The last time I saw you face-to-face was at probably the worst time that we could ever have been imagining. It was getting off the bus, arriving back at SaskTel Center, following the conclusion of the 2019-20 season. Since then, you went on from the Blades to the Calgary Wranglers in the American Hockey League for two seasons. And now with the Washington Capitals, you're in your second year with the Caps. And I mean, I'm not surprised that you're in the NHL. The progression was going to be there, but it's got to have been really a meteoric rise for you and a very satisfying one, I'd have to think.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind, to be honest with you, Les. you go from, you know, those 3 years in Saskatoon, if you want to call them that, with obviously COVID and the bubble season. And it was weird times for all of us, right?
Yep.
And then just kind of obviously moving on to Calgary's organization, being in Stockton, California for a year, and then relocating to Calgary, and then only there for a year, and then moving to Washington. It was kind of a busy 3 years. A lot of off seasons were full of personal movement and professional movement. And so, you don't really have a time to kind of take a breath and sit back and enjoy it. But, coming to this organization and being a part of our staff and obviously the players and the culture that's been here for 20 years, basically since Alex, you know, entered the NHL. And it's been a lot of fun. It's been great for my career, professionally, to really understand the league, the travel requirements, the preparation requirements, dealing with high-level athletes every day that, you know, are striving for consistency in their game and then obviously winning. About being in the NHL, depending on your situation and what organization you're in, at the end of the day, it's about winning. And you know, that's one thing about our organization here. The expectation is to win and make the playoffs and be competitive. And over the last couple of years, we've been able to do that. And we're hoping for a long playoff run this year. So it's been a lot of fun. I I never take for granted being at this level. I've obviously, like you mentioned, I've spent a lot of years working to get here, and obviously my aspirations are to get to even the highest level, which is to be a head coach in the National Hockey League one day. And I'm just kind of soaking it all in and taking in, you know, learning from day to day from our head coach and our staff and our players, and hopefully it'll be something that'll, you know, down the road I can benefit from.
Hey, that's the show. Next week, the conference championship series will be set. We'll be down to the WHL's Final Four. Hey, thanks to Les Lazarek for his help this week, as well to our guests. I'm John Keane. Have a great weekend.